A brief reminder to teenagers and parents. Today is the deadline to sign up for Broomball for this coming Friday. So that list is down the hall towards the Magnolia Room. You need to have your name on that list as well as pick up one of those waivers and get those signed. In John chapter 5, we encounter or read about an encounter that Jesus had with a crippled man at the Pool of Bethesda. John reveals to us that this man has been in this condition for 38 years. Now, whether from birth or not, we don't know. Maybe it was. I tend personally to think that it had been from birth. And he waited daily by the pool because of a local legend that said periodically an angel would come and would stir those waters. And when he would stir those waters, the first person to step down into the pool would be healed of any ailments that he had. Read with me, if you would, beginning in verse 5. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in this condition for a long time, he said, "Do you wish to get well?" You notice anything unusual about Jesus' question? Do you wish to get well? The man has spent 38 years crippled, lying beside the gate, watching everyone else run, walk, skip, jump past him, going on with their lives just like anybody else. And yet Jesus wants to know, do you want to get well? Most of us look at that question and we think, well, yeah, duh. Maybe that's one of those questions that you don't really think the situation out and it kind of comes out of your mouth before you think it all the way through. But let's not forget who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Son of God. Jesus never made a statement or asked a question that did not have a reason behind it. There was always some greater purpose than what might have been seen immediately on the surface. So what was Jesus' deeper reason for asking this question? Let's look a little deeper. The word wish, thelo, it means, yes, to wish, but also it moves on to desire earnestly. And so Jesus does not mean in asking this question, do you occasionally think about getting well? Does the thought cross your mind from time to time? But rather, Jesus is asking this man, do you earnestly and deeply long and desire, do you seek to be made whole? Again, why would Jesus ask such a question to a man who'd been crippled for 38 years? And the reason is that yes is not necessarily the obvious answer. Those of us who don't suffer from an infirmity such as this see no other possible way that the man could have answered Jesus' question. But the reality is that there are several ways that a person who is not whole could have answered this question. You see, when a person lives so long with a handicap, and I don't necessarily mean just physical, we could be speaking about emotional, mental, spiritual handicaps. The prospect of being made whole is one that can conjure up quite a variety of responses. And it would do us some good to consider some of the answers that even we come up with when God asks us the question, do you want to be made whole? Because sometimes we give anything but the answer that seems the most obvious to everyone else. And for the rest of our time, I would like for us to consider three possible ways that we respond to this question of, do you want to be made well? And the first is a response of denial. Suppose Jesus walked up to the man who'd been crippled for 38 years, asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" only to be met with the response, "Who says I'm not? Who says I need to be made well?" Such an answer seems rather ludicrous, especially to people who don't suffer from a similar problem. But a response of denial is much more common than we think it is. Modern society has spent decades emphasizing the need to treat people with handicaps as individuals equally capable of contributing to society, and rightfully so, because mankind has not always responded positively to various types of disabilities. However, modern society has also made it a goal to instill within us the philosophy that equality and fairness mean that you cannot point out a person's shortcomings, whether they be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Instead, we are instructed to act as though they don't exist, even though the whole world can see obviously that they do exist. Now understand, it is one thing to learn how to cope with and to work through a disability or a shortcoming in order to be successful. These are the stories that inspire us to work harder in our own lives. But it is a completely different thing to deny them and to act as though they don't exist. And it's this denial that makes it increasingly difficult for mankind to understand his need for the healing power of Jesus Christ. We've said for so long, "I'm okay, you're okay, there's nothing wrong with you." So that when we are asked, "Do you want to be made whole?" we say, "I don't need to be made whole. There's nothing wrong with me." And failing to see our need for healing only propels us deeper and deeper into the sickness of sin that's eating us from the inside out. But such denial is not exclusive to the world who does not know about God. Even believers must continually remember that we are not whole on our own when left to our own power. In John chapter 8, verses 32 and 33, Jesus commented to the Jewish religious leaders. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." He was met with the response, "We are Abraham's children, and we have never been enslaved to anyone, so how is it that you say you shall be made free?" In that one statement, in that one response, the Jewish people, God's people, denied the Egyptian, Assyrian, and Babylonian captivities. They denied the entire book of Judges, in which time after time after time they were held captive because they had fallen away from God. And they completely denied in that one statement the fact that they were currently under Roman rule. They were not free when they made the statement. We must not allow our years of belief and service to God cause us to forget that we are made whole and we stay whole because of His grace and not of our own power. When asked, "Do you want to be made whole?" we must never deny the need to be made whole. But secondly, a person could respond with despondency. You know, a person who's lived with a handicap for a long time can eventually reach a point of hopelessness. And when met with Jesus' question, do you want to be made whole? They respond, what's the point? It's too late for me. And then one excuse after another begins to be issued forth, trying to justify the idea why I should continue living in this infirmity that I have. I think the crippled man in John 5 was on the verge of being in this state of mind. Notice what he says in verse 7. Jesus says, do you want to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another one steps down before me. He gives an excuse as to why he's not well yet and to why he can't be made well right now. You know, a person who has become convicted of a lifetime of sin is prone to respond this way to the invitation of healing from Jesus. And we get caught up and held down in this state of depression or helplessness for many reasons. Perhaps fear of the unknown. We've become so accustomed to living with and in our shortcomings that we say, I've lived this way for so long that I don't know if I really could change my life. And if I could change it, I'm not sure that I would stay that way. I might mess up and fall back into the same condition I was in before. Or maybe we doubt the power of Jesus to heal. Jesus says, I can make you well. And you say, but Jesus, there's no way you can forgive me for what I've done. I'm such a wretched individual. I'm so evil. I just don't see how even you could forgive me of what I've done. But probably the ultimate reason we get caught up in a state of despondency is because of guilt. And we say, hey, if I were Jesus, I wouldn't give me a second chance. I don't deserve it. Why would you waste your time with me? And we have the right to feel helpless and hopeless, and we should. Because if we're trusting in our own power that has failed us time and time again, we understand that we're helpless and we're hopeless. Paul described the condition quite well in Romans chapter 5, in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But you know, the good news is that we don't have to stay in a state or with a feeling of hopelessness. In the very same chapter, Romans chapter 5, looking at verses 17 through 19, Paul makes this statement. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation for all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. In a nutshell, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. A feeling of guilt is healthy because it's in that feeling of guilt that we realize our need for Christ. However, we must not remain so paralyzed and despondent by our guilt that we fail to allow Jesus to give us the healing that we so desperately need. But finally, we see that a person can respond with a feeling of desire. When asking, do you want to be made well? Jesus wants to be met with the response of desire. He wants us to reach out and to cry out, yes, Lord, make me whole. I want to be made whole. Jesus told a parable about a farmer who scattered seeds onto four types of soil. Three of those soils produced no fruit. However, the seed that fell on the proper fertile soil brought forth a great amount of fruit for the harvest. That soil represents the heart that knows he needs the healing power of God to make him whole. He needs the blood of Jesus to wash him clean. The one answering Jesus with an attitude of desire is the one who cries out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Jesus said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners. Jesus is standing here asking this morning, do you want to be made whole? How are you going to respond? Will you respond with denial? I don't need to be made well, Jesus. Take your power and go. Will you respond with despondency? I love the thought, Jesus, but it's too late for me. Or will you respond with desire? Yes, Lord. Yes. I need to be made whole. I want to be made whole, and I know that you are the one who can make me whole. If you've not obeyed the gospel, put on Christ in baptism. You can do that this morning and be made whole. If you've wandered away from him, allowed the illness, the sickness of sin to bring you down, the great physician is always waiting with his arms open. And you can come now while we stand and while we sing.